Shalom! Holy Scriptures and Israel is a ministry designed to share with the Jewish people the good news of the Lord Jesus, Yeshua the Messiah, and to instruct Christians on the Jewish roots of their faith. And now, teaching God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective, here is Gideon Levitam.
The study of the Gospel of Mark, chapter 2. And so we read in verse 6 and verse 7, "But there were certain of the scribes sitting there, and they reasoned in their hearts, saying, 'Why does this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only?'" And while it is true, only God can forgive sins, the problem that they had, just like many of us, many people have today, they don't realize that Yeshua, the Jesus, the Messiah, is more than just an ordinary man. That he is indeed God who entered humanity and took the form of a man, and he became just like you and I, sin apart. He is indeed the Son of God, the eternal Son of God. He hath an authority to forgive sins. But they didn't see it. And that's why they saw in him, as we read here in verse 6 and 7, they reasoned within their hearts. They began to think in their mind, maybe to speak to each other. And he says, "What? Look at this man." They saw in him only a man. "This man speaks blasphemies." In Hebrew, the word is gidufim, slander, claiming that he can forgive sins, which only God can forgive sins. Well, they were right, because only God can forgive sins, but they were wrong in not knowing who he was and who he is. They couldn't see beyond the fact that he is only a man. They could not see more than that. And you know, it's easy to blame them, but you and I know very well that we had a lot of problem to understand the divine nature of the Lord. That he was indeed the Emmanuel that was promised by Isaiah. "The virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and she shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us." They couldn't see it. They couldn't see it like many today do not see that Jesus, that Yeshua, is more than just another man. Had he have been only a man, a prophet, a good rabbi, whatever one want to call him, he could never forgive sins. Who can forgive sins except God? But he is God the Son. He took union humanity with his divine nature. He has an authority to forgive sin. The evangelist, or John, said, who wrote a little bit later his gospel in John chapter 1, he wrote about Yeshua the Messiah, and he said, "In the beginning was the Word," John 1:1, "and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Verse 3, "All things were made by him, and without him nothing was made which was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not." And then verse 14 says, "And the Word became flesh." He became basar. He became a man. "And he dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." He became a man. That is the most beautiful thing that we learn from the gospel, that the Messiah, that God the Son, had to enter humanity and become a man like you and I. The Hebrew writer said in chapter 2, Hebrews 2:14, "For as much as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that has the power of death, that is the devil." He had to become flesh and blood just like you and I, but they didn't see it. And that's why they said in verse 7, Why does this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God? And so Yeshua had to respond to them. And in verses 8 to verse 12 of Mark chapter 2, Yeshua responded to the reasoning of the scribes. And beloved brothers and sisters, these reasonings exist all the time. How many times in the ministry we hear of people who deny the divine nature of Yeshua the Messiah, deny that he is the God-man one, deny that he existed in eternity past, deny his virgin birth, deny his eternal sonship, deny what the Bible teaches concerning Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah. He is indeed God the Son, otherwise he could never forgive sins. And so Yeshua responded to them. In verses 8 to 12, Yeshua responded to them. And notice, Yeshua perceived that the scribes were reasoning. How does he even know that? Because it says in verse 8, immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they saw reason within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? You know, we learn that he knows the heart of every one of us. He searched the hearts. You remember in our previous meeting, we quoted John chapter 2. Many believe on his name, but he did not commit himself unto them because he knew their hearts. The Lord Jesus, the Messiah, knows our hearts. He knows the heart of men. And that's why he knew what they were thinking, what they were thinking in their hearts and their mind. He knew that. And that's why he said to them, why are you reasoning within yourself? Then he said to them, why you do so? And then he came up with a beautiful response. In verse 9, he said to them, Mark 2:9, whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee? Or to say, arise, take up thy bed and walk? Notice he used the word to say, not to do, but to say. What is it easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee? Or to say, arise, take up thy bed and walk? Well, of course, it is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, but you have to prove it. Because if he said your sins are forgiven, they would say, well, okay, well, prove to me that his sins were forgiven. But his sins were not forgiven unless God had forgave his sins. So in order to prove to them that he can do so, notice what he says in verse 11. He says, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. And immediately, verse 12, he arose, took up the bed. He went forth before all, inasmuch that they were all amazed, and they glorified God, saying, we never have seen this thing done in this fashion before. Can you imagine to say to someone, arise, take your bed, go thy way into your house? Can you imagine to say this to someone? Someone who is sick with palsy. Someone who, as we read earlier, that they brought him, one that is unable to walk, disabled man. Imagine to say this to someone, those such words. And immediately the man rose. No delay. Immediately, notice the word immediately in verse 12. He arose, he took up his bed, he went forth before all of them, and they were all amazed when they have seen such a thing. Arise, take up thy bed, and walk, he said to them. And beloved brothers and sisters, the expression that we have here in verses 11 and 12 shows us that this person by the name of Yeshua had the authority to forgive sins, and the proof of that is that he is even able to heal those that were sick there, such as this man that was without the ability to walk. I want to emphasize another point here in verse 10. But that ye may know, he said, that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. I want you to realize that the Son of Man has authority to forgive sin. And he used this expression, the Son of Man. Many times the expression is found in the gospel. Son of Man, Son of Man, Son of Man. Why does he use that expression, the Son of Man? Because the word Son of Man is a messianic title. It was already mentioned long time ago in Psalm 8. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? The word Ben Ha'adam in Hebrew is a messianic title. When Daniel in chapter 7 and verse 13 have seen that vision as he was there in Babylon, and God have showed him a vision of one like unto the son of man, Ben Ha'adam. This is the pre-incarnate Messiah. But now he have entered humanity. He is now here on earth. The Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sin. He can forgive sin because he is also the Son of God. He is also God the Son. He has an authority that had been given unto him by the Lord himself. The Gospel of Matthew, at the end of the Gospel, the Lord Jesus said, "All power, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and in earth." Authority was given unto me as man here upon the face of this earth. I am the eternal Son of God, but I have authority here upon the face of this earth. Here he is presented as the servant of Jehovah with an authority to forgive sin. And so he forgave yours, and he forgave mine, only because he paid for that when he died for us on the cross. So what is happening here is always in view of what he was going to do. He didn't die as yet. Sin haven't been paid as yet. He will pay for it. But he knew that all along, that one day he will eventually die on a wretched, shameful cross where he will pay for the sin of this world. So in verses 1 to 12 of Mark chapter 2, Yeshua, the Messiah, demonstrates his authority over all, but specifically in authority to forgive sins of mankind. Now let's move along just to the next verses, verses 13 to 17. Here we find another thing that is very precious, that the Messiah, Yeshua, called a man by the name of Levi, Matthew Levi, and also the fact that he is sitting along with the tax collectors and the sinners, visiting with them in order to reach them to come to know him as the promised Messiah. And so we read in verse 13, Yeshua, we find again in this next verse that he went forth again by the seaside, and all the multitude resorted unto him, and he taught them. Again, brothers and sisters, you notice how the Lord is always teaching, always preaching the word. He goes now to the Sea of Galilee. This is the Kinneret, Tiberias, Tveria. He's on the seashore, walking along the shore. He went out of Kfar Nahum, which is very close to the seaside, and he's going out now and he's walking. He went out there and people resorted unto him. People came from everywhere. They came to the person of Yeshua the Messiah. They wanted to hear from him. They wanted to see what he has to say. Many of them wanted to be healed by him. But many came to him, but he taught them. And he taught them. And he taught them again and again. I'm thinking of what Shaul Paul said to Timothy in the second epistle. Preach the word in season and out of season. Make sure that you give the word of God, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing it is indeed by the word of God. So he preached the word there by the seaside. And as he preached the word, he passed by, and look at this. It says in verse 14, he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Halfai. In Hebrew it says Halfai. In the English it says Alphaeus. Levi ben Chalfai, he was sitting at the receipt of the customs, and he said unto him, follow me. And he arose and he followed him. Now Levi is apparently one of these tax collectors. In other Gospels, if you read in Matthew chapter 9, his name is actually Matthew. I'll read this verse in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 9. And as Yeshua passed forth from hence, he saw a man by the name of Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom. And he saith unto him, follow me. And he arose and he followed him. Apparently, the Gospel of Matthew, written by Matthew, he mentioned his name Matthew, while in Mark we read of him by the name of Levi. Same person. The word Levi obviously comes from the tribe of Levi. If you remember, in biblical time, names were given for a reason. A descendant of the tribe of Levi were named Levites or Levites. Some of them were Kohanim, they were priests, so their name might be Kohen. But here's a man by the name of Levi. He was a tax collector. A tax collector were basically, among the Jewish people, were Jewish men who were serving or working along with the Romans. The tax collectors were not liked so much. Why? Because apparently they were not always treating the rest of the nation in a right way. Perhaps they were overtaxing them. Or perhaps they were taking more than they should. They give some to the Roman government and the rest they keep for themselves. And you know, none of us like the tax collectors, right? And it is not because they are bad people, but they come and take taxes from you. Well, apparently here we find out that this man by the name of Levi was sitting there at the receipt custom, and apparently it was not the first time that he saw him. I'm sure if we look at the record, you'll find out that he must have heard about Yeshua long before. Because Yeshua already was there in Kfar Nahum earlier. He was next door somewhere in one of the areas where the tax had been collected by those tax gatherers. And he came to Levi and he said to him, Levi, he says, follow me. Follow me, Levi. And Levi immediately says, notice he arose. And he followed after him. If you read in other gospel, you find that he left all. And he followed after Yeshua. You might almost say he burned all the bridges that he had. He left all and he just followed after Yeshua. Apparently he believed on him already. And Yeshua called him for the ministry, called him to be a disciple. We have a whole gospel of Matthew that was written by this man by the name of Levi. Matthai Levi. By the way, the name Matthai or Matityahu come from the Hebrew word, a gift that Yah, the Jehovah, had given unto me. Or Matityahu, Jehovah is a gift for me. The Lord is a gift that had been given unto me. And we can say Yeshua, Jesus, is a gift of God that had been given to this man by the name of Matthai, Matthew Levi. And he left everything and he followed after Yeshua, it says here. And not only that he left everything and followed after Yeshua, in fact, we find out in the next verse that he invited Yeshua and he brought him to his home. You notice again, brothers and sisters, it says in verse 15, and it came to pass that as Yeshua sat to eat at his house, many publicans and sinners sat also together with Yeshua and his disciples, for there were many, and they follow after him. You notice how interesting? When Shimon followed Yeshua, he brought him home. When Levi followed Yeshua, he brought him home. When Zacchaeus, Luke 19, accepted Yeshua, he brought him home. They're all bringing him home. Why? Because they realize that he is that one for whom they were waiting, the Mashiach, the Messiah. They brought him home. They wanted to have him as part of their lives, not only their personal life, their home life. And how wonderful it is to see that he brought him home. And not only that, he must have made for him a certain, you might say, time where he gathered all his friends from the past and wanted to introduce them to the person of Yeshua the Messiah. So he brought him home, and we find out in this verse 15, and publicans and sinners sat also together with Yeshua and his disciples there, for there were many that followed Yeshua, that followed him. Apparently, he brought many to see about the men that he followed after, and he's just, you might say, leaving his job, his past work, and he's now following Yeshua the Messiah. People came into his house. He introduced them to Yeshua, to Jesus the Messiah. He prepared their food and drink and so on. And they all had a time together where the Lord could share with them who he was, that he was indeed the promised Redeemer. But again, you always have those that don't agree. You always have those that oppose who Jesus, who Yeshua is. And so in the last verses here of our section in this ministry today, we find out that the question was raised by the scribes and by the Pharisees. In verse 16, when the scribes and the Pharisees saw him eat with the publicans and the sinners, they said unto his disciples, how is it that he eats and drinks with the publicans and the sinners? You see, they made, you might say, the publicans, which were the tax collectors, as far as the Pharisees were concerned, they were sinners. They were working with the Romans. They were collecting taxes for the Romans. They were oppressing the nation of Israel, the Jewish people. They were against, you might say, against the people, against God, and against the people. So for the Pharisees and the scribes, the publicans, the tax collectors, were equivalent to sinners. And indeed, they were working for the Romans. And you can just imagine how much oppression the Jewish people have received from the Romans, and those that work with them, and those that help them, you might say. It was a time, a difficult time for the Jewish people. But the Pharisees and the scribes did not see that Jesus came in order to seek and to save all those sinners, all those who needed his help. And so we read in verse 16, how is it, they asked the disciples, that he is sitting with the publican and with the sinners? And here is the answer of the Lord, and I would like to conclude with this. What is the reason that Jesus came? What is the reason that God sent the Messiah, the servant of Jehovah, to this world? Here is the answer. He said to them in verse 17, Yeshua heard what they said to the disciples, and he came with an answer, and he said to the Pharisees and the scribes, he said, they that are whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but I came to call sinners to repentance. The reason that I came down from heaven is not to call people who think that they are righteous, but I came to call people who are sinners, who know that they are sinners. I came to call them to repent and receive forgiveness of sins. And you see, this is exactly the problem with the Pharisees and the scribes. And it is a problem of many a man and a woman around the world today who do not think that they are sinners, who never like to hear the fact that they have sinned and failed short of the glory of God. They don't like to admit that they have a sinful nature. They like to assume that they are fine. And that's why the Lord cannot lead them or cannot save them, because they are okay. They don't need God. They don't need a Messiah. But those who have, you might say, the ability to be honest with God and honest with themselves and to say, I'm a sinner and I need forgiveness. and I repent of my sins. I admit that I am a sinner. That's why it is necessary to repent in order to receive forgiveness of sins. Not only to understand that I am a sinner, but to repent of it. And that's why he said, I came not to call the righteous, but I came to call sinners to repent so they will be able to receive forgiveness of sins. The healthy people, they don't need a doctor. The sick people, they need a physician. So I came not to call those who assume that they are whole and that they are not sick, but I came to call sinners in order that they will repent. And beloved brothers and sisters, this is the reason why Yeshua came. He came, as we read in those two statements, he came, he has power and authority to forgive sins. And the reason that he came to call sinners in order that they will repent. And I'm closing with Acts chapter 17 and verse 30, the words that Apostle Paul said in his preaching. For the time of this ignorance, God winked it. But now he commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Why? Because he has appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. Therefore, he said, he has given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. This is Acts chapter 17, verse 30 and 31. So, beloved brothers and sisters, Mark chapter 2 present before us verses 1 to 17. Our Lord Jesus the Messiah is the man that hath authority to forgive sins. And thank God we have accepted him. And our sins have been forgiven because Yeshua paid the price for our sins. Can we say amen to that?
You have been listening to the Holy Scriptures and Israel with Gideon Levitan. Gideon teaches God's Word from a Hebrew messianic perspective. For more information about this ministry, write to Holy Scriptures and Israel, Box 1411, Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario, L0S1J0, or visit our website at holyscripturesandisrael.com. You are also invited to Gideon's weekly Bible teaching on Fridays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m., and Saturdays at 1 p.m., at Willowdale Christian Assembly Hall, 28 Martin Ross Avenue in Toronto. Holy Scriptures and Israel is made possible by your prayers and financial support. If you would like to support the program, visit holyscripturesandisrael.com. God bless you. Shalom, shalom.